You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Amen. Can we thank the band for leading us this morning? Thank you, Pastor Mark, for leading us in communion. We're going to dismiss the kiddos, and if you would oblige, if you would just stay standing if you're able, as we dismiss these kiddos, we want to enter in this morning by reciting together the Lord's Prayer, what we just sung in song form. I want to do in a liturgy as soon as the shuffle ends. Can we just look at the beauty of all of these kids and our kids' ministry? Clap them up. It's so good. So good. Hey, would you recite the Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Do you remember the first time you ever prayed? Can you recall it? Was it a desperate cry for help in a rock bottom moment of your life? Was it a response of gratitude and overwhelming joy and thanksgiving for something great that happened to you? Was it an invitation to receive Jesus' forgiveness of your sins? Or was it a deep sense of curiosity with the question, God, are you even there? Can you hear me? However prayer began for you, if it has begun, my hope, my guess is that it has evolved over time. That the way you pray, the way you engage with prayer has shifted and changed and grown and even at times retracted and become more real and less real, all in the process of learning how to pray. Today, we begin a four-week conversation as we step into our third practice of the year. If you've been with us for a while, we started in January talking about and practicing Sabbath. And in February, we talked and practiced about fasting. And today, we begin a four-week conversation around prayer. Our hope is that these spiritual disciplines, or what we call these practices, would be helping you become more and more aware of the nearness and closeness of God. That all of these practices are, in fact, a means to an end, and they lead to closer intimacy and awareness of God in your midst. At its most basic form, prayer is simply a medium, it's a mode of conversation and of hopefully leading into communion with God. Now, conversation, right, communication, super easy, right? We're all pretty much experts when it comes to communication. Anybody major in communication in college? Yeah, I didn't, but people that I know who did are like, I still struggle communicating, even though you have a four-year degree in it, right? And, you know, communication is this thing that, for whatever reason, seems to be perhaps one of the most cumbersome and clumsy parts of our human existence, right? Talk, you know, I guess simply because we've just all mastered talking to one another, that like talking to God would be just second nature, right? Just so easy for us. In fact, I love this quote about communication. It says, communication is a delicate art, where words are but brushes painting, upon the canvas of understanding. Yet the canvas is vast, and the hues of interpretation vary, often leading to a masterpiece of clarity, or if you're like me, a mosaic of confusion. See, this is the truth about communication. It is so hard and nuanced and cumbersome. And when I think about all of my experience as a pastor, the crux of almost every relational issue, of every crisis in interpersonal spaces lies somewhere in the intricate web of communication and miscommunication. Right? Or even in the role that I serve in as a firefighter, I've seen even the most mundane or simple thing turn into an emergency because of a lack of communication. As a parent, one of the hardest things to do is communicate with your completely rational children. And as a follower of Jesus, perhaps some of my darkest moments have been trying to make sense of a good and gracious God that feels distant and far. But the good news is there's one area of communication in my life that I've mastered, and it's in my marriage. Laurel would never disagree with that. So Laurel and I are celebrating 19 years of marriage this June. We've known each other for 23 years, and the way that we communicate with one another has changed vastly over all that time. Believe it or not, one of the first ways I confessed my undying love to Laurel was I wrote her a song. And I think that song made it somewhere in Billboard top 10,000. And it was pretty awful. But it was a creative expression of my interest and infatuation at the time with Laurel. Nowadays, our conversations have changed quite a bit. In fact, probably one of the most regular conversations that we have, and one of the kind of the thing that opens up our communication with each other is actually a weekly conversation around our calendar. I know that doesn't sound like romantic or sexy or like really that deep, but this is kind of a regular communication practice that we have. Well, at least once a week, we either sit down or if I'm at the firehouse, I call her, and we just talk about the week or the month ahead. And we tediously walk through all of the moving pieces of our lives, and we communicate with one another our expectations, our demands, our wishes, our desires. And it's interesting how, as mundane and as kind of unromantic as this sounds, this is just the reality of the season of life that we're in. We have three very active kids with their own interests and crazy schedules of hobbies and sports and things that they love to do. We both have careers that are both life-giving and highly demanding. The simplest thing we do is pastor all of you guys as a church. It's never hard or cumbersome. And there's a lot of things on the calendar for us to talk to and make sense of. And it's interesting to me that all of these years later and all of the different modes and forms of communication that we've had with one another, that even talking about our calendar can be the portal, can be the pathway into deeper intimacy. As we talk about this thing that's coming up, we might be able to share about our anxieties or fears around something, or we might be able to celebrate and anticipate things that are coming up ahead, or it might open up a conversation about something going on at life or work, or us to get real with one another, to be curious about how we're doing as parents or spouses or leaders. And what starts with a seemingly nothing conversation about some things on a calendar turn into a deeper conversation. Because of all this time that we have, years and years of experience and practice of conversing with one another, we actually need less words. We know the question behind the question, or when the question is a statement. That's my favorite one, right? We know the thing behind the thing. And we're able to be honest and real and vulnerable in less words. When we're doing it right, we'll compete with each other for how we can outserve one another, put their needs of each other before our own. And then when we're doing it wrong, which is often, we will fight for our own selfish things and give grace sometimes. But all of this different ways of communication has led to a deeper level of intimacy, of known and being known. And this is exactly what prayer is like. Prayer is us stumbling through and over and around finding our way to a depth of intimacy and meaning and knowing God and knowing that he knows us. But even with that kind of in the forefront of our minds, we can be left wondering about prayer. Right? What is it for? When do I do it? How long should I do it? Where should I do it? What does it actually do? What does it mean for me? These are questions that we kick around and we stumble over as we ponder and practice and wrestle with this idea of communicating and communing with an unseeable God. And so for the next 4 weeks, these are the questions that we're going to kick around. We're going to unpack and hopefully practice new forms and modes that might help us move into closer intimacy with God. If you're new to following Jesus, prayer might be brand new to you. It might be something you've never even tried. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time and you feel like your prayer life is left wanting, like a deeper encounter with God. Or maybe if you're honest, you're just bored and praying feels tedious or tiring. Maybe it's something that you're looking for fresh wind with or some fresh kind of sense of realness in that. But regardless of how you're showing up to prayer, all of us are invited to pray. Throughout the scriptures, we see kind of this word prayer is kind of this umbrella term that talks about all the nuances and the different types of interactions with God. But like I said, at its most basic level, prayer is a mode, it's a medium with how we commune with God through communication, how we grow closer in intimacy. And really, we can refer to prayer as a practice, and it is, but it's more than a practice. It's not just the journey, it's also the destination. The end of prayer is prayer. The end of prayer is connection and intimacy and communion with God. And this is a hard thing for me to recognize or realize sometimes. I need to remind myself of this often. Prayer isn't just about getting access to God's resources or his power. It's not just about getting access to the things that he wants to give us, but ultimately it's about getting access to his person, getting access to who he is. It's not about what we can get from God. It's about how we can get with God. And when it comes to talking about practicing prayer, it is about setting aside dedicated time and kind of time that just comes up. Right? We find ourselves praying on purpose and on accident. You ever been there? And it's a time where we can set aside to be intentional to be with God in order to know his true character, to become like him, and to partner with him in doing the things that he's invited us to do in this world. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk through kind of these four levels or these four kind of modes of prayer that we can find ourselves in, and they're not linear, they're not in order, but these are the ways that we will find ourselves moving in and out of prayer with God. First, today we're going to talk about talking to God. Next week we'll talk about talking with God, and then perhaps my most challenging one, and maybe yours is too, is week three, listening to God. And then four is being with God, the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that we would be with God. And I know that prayer is hard because we're so busy. We have so many things going on. We're so distracted. And it's hard to find time to pray. And when we do, our thoughts can just take us a million different directions. We can be interrupted. We can be kind of overwhelmed with all that is going on in this world or in our lives. We can be flooded with confusion or misunderstanding, and there can be all of these things that get in the way. Prayer for a lot of us, if we're honest, it feels like exercise. We know it's good for us, but we don't like it. I know some of you love exercise, and you're strange beings. I literally did a workout yesterday, and I was like, I hate this. This hurts. I don't like it. And I think the good news for all of us is if you struggle with prayer, You're not alone. St. Teresa of Avila says this. She says, when it comes to prayer, that we're all beginners. This is a saint who spent her entire life praying and still referred to herself as a beginner. So if that's true, if we're all beginners, then where do we start? In the book of Luke, chapter 11, we see this story unfolding. It says this, it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And so before we kind of step into this and unpack this, I want to help you kind of see, I want to like situate this text in the larger story, in the context. We see Jesus praying. This is something that Jesus often did. You see all throughout the Gospels and the life of Jesus, we see things like this in Luke chapter 5. It says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6:12, it says, one of those days Jesus went to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. In Luke chapter 9, we say Jesus, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and he went up onto the mountain to pray. So kind of leading up to and all around this passage that we're going to unpack this morning, we see that this prayer rhythm, it's a normal thing in the life of Jesus. And as we apprentice under him, it should also be true for us. It says, on the day Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, isn't it interesting that this is the first time they asked Jesus to teach them to do anything? Up until this point, they had seen Jesus heal the lame and cast out demons and do all of these miracles, and they hadn't asked him yet to teach them how to do that. If I'm there, I'm like, teach me how to do that, right? Because, you know, prayer wasn't this foreign idea. These were Jewish people. They were raised up in a Jewish household. They knew the ways of the Torah, and they practiced and participated with prayer. But if, I'm just assuming, I'm wondering if prayer for them was tired and tedious. But when they saw Jesus enter into prayer, they realized that everything Jesus was doing in his outer world was flowing from what was happening in his inner world. And they saw that at the core of who Jesus was his depth of connection to God the Father. And I think because they had a front row seat, because they saw what Jesus was doing when he went away and prayed by himself, or went to the lonely places when he even invited them with him, they saw that something was happening that they wanted access to. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's our invitation this morning. My prayer, my hope is that our prayer would be, Lord, would you teach us to pray? That's the goal for this month, that through our conversation, through our practice, but ultimately through the guiding of the Holy Spirit and through God the Father, that we would be taught to pray. And what we see is Jesus responds in a such an interesting way. He says this in Luke 11. He says, when you pray, say. When you pray, say. And what proceeds from here is what we know as the Lord's Prayer. We did the liturgy of it this morning before the message began. We sang a song about it right before then. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words that Jesus taught us how to pray. And we see in the Gospels that another point in time where this story is being told, it's situated right in the middle of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's like best of sermon, right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, this story transpires, and this is what his response is. In Matthew 6:9, he says, this then is how you should pray. Or in Luke, he says, when you pray, say this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Those are the words of Jesus. Then we added, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We know this as the Lord's Prayer. If you grew up in the Catholic Church, it's be called Our Father. This pre-written prayer, this prayer that's been recited for 2,000 years, these are the words of Jesus. And yet, for many of us, I grew up I came to faith in a faith tradition where you would never use somebody else's words, not even Jesus's, to pray, right? Because prayer came from the heart. It was like your words. It was all about how you could kind of express yourself before God. And so, my whole life growing up as a follower of Jesus, from the time of high school till very recently, reciting a prayer felt like phoning it in. It felt completely fake and unintentional. It felt like something that a cheater would do. And really, the reason for me is I have no shortage of words. If you know me, if you work with me or are even in an earshot of me, you know that I'm a verbal processor. I can't even think without saying it. I'm sure that if you work closely with me, thank you, Mark and Shalise and the team here at Makers and my wife and everyone I work with in the fire department, you're probably exhausted from the amount that I talk. Sometimes I'm sure I'm exhausting God. See, because for me, talking to God, which is what we're talking about this morning, I've never had a shortage of words. And so for me, using a recited prayer or something that was written by somebody else felt not needed, or it felt unnecessary. I've got plenty of my words on my own. So I've never had a problem talking to God. Week 3, we'll talk about my greatest challenge, which is hearing from God. That's where the problem has always lied for me. God, how do I hear from you? We'll get there in a few weeks. But this idea of recited prayers, using those to talk to God, that was a relatively new idea for me, even though it was totally practiced for like 2,000 years by many of faith traditions, maybe even one that you grew up with. And what's funny is in college, I memorized the Sermon on the Mount instead of writing a paper, and I knew the words. I just never used them as my mode of prayer. And what struck me in the last couple years, if you've been with us for the last year or so, you know that we've kind of delved into some liturgy and some more ancient practices. We did a year through common prayer where we were very attuned to using the prayers of others to help guide our prayer lives. But what kind of dawned on me, at least, as I shifted into this, really, I did a sabbatical a year ago, and that's really when I first went all in on, like, I'm going to try something I haven't tried before, because my prayer life was feeling stale. And this, the words that Jesus spoke before he said, "This then is how you should pray," are the words that really have been rattling around in my heart as I practice using written or pre-written prayers to guide my conversation with God. And in a similar way that a calendar is the starting point for a conversation with Laurel, using a pre-written prayer has been a great starting point for my prayer life in the last year and some change. And this is why, in Matthew 6, verse 5, Jesus says this warning. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask them." Now, this is such an interesting passage for us to make sense of our own conversation and communication with God. Throughout in the Sermon on the Mount and throughout the Gospels, there's really three times where Jesus talks about spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. He talks about prayer, he talks about fasting, and he talks about giving, generosity. And in all three of these areas where he talks about these, he gives us a warning. He warns us that neither of these disciplines are meant to help us gain merit or get in good standing with God. They aren't transactional. They aren't things that we must do to earn favor with God. He gives insights into each one of these, and he gives this warning about our dangers of doing these things to be seen by others. He says, if that's why you do it, you'll receive your reward in full, which is great. They saw you doing it. Now, for me, that hasn't been my greatest struggle, but the next one is. There are this reality that Jesus talks about in the end of this passage where he says, stop using these words and babbling on like pagans. You ever ask God for something and didn't get it, so you tried another way? Oh, if I rephrase it a different way, if I use better words or more holy-sounding words or greater words, if I can impress God with my wit and my words, I might be able to get what I want. Verbal processor, lots of words. Trying to impress God, trying to get him to hear me, trying to get him to understand the words coming out of my mouth. And he says, long before you even speak the words, I know what your needs are before you even ask them. We cannot manipulate God with great orator, by being a great orator. We cannot manipulate God by impressing him. You could write the most poetic spoken word piece and God will still know the true needs of your heart. But we do this. We try to woo God to ourselves with the words that we might use or the way that we might do it or impress him with our rhythms or duration, right? I just need to pray longer, need to pray harder, need to pray more often to try to get God to do what we want. But what I've begun learning over the seasons of my life of following Jesus is that all of the pain that I'm trying to avoid oftentimes when I come to God with my asks and my wishes is pain that's unavoidable. The practices, prayer, is how we meet God in the midst of our pain and how we surrender ourselves to him, trusting that he will do as he wills when he wills it. And so, this shift for me, praying these written prayers, particularly the Lord's Prayer, has been a massive shift for me to take the pressure off of having to get the words right. They've become a portal into a starting point and a portal into deeper intimacy and connection with God. And the Lord's Prayer or any other type of pre-written prayer is not just a platform or a process that we should go through. But we see particularly here in the Lord's Prayer, it's not just a liturgy, but it's also a theology. It's a framework. It brings a deep sense of understanding about not what we should say when we come to God, but how we should show up. What we see here in the Lord's Prayer is that there's these theological truths that are being made as we unpack that prayer. What we see here is that the first half of that prayer is about orienting ourselves to the true nature and character of God. See, prayer is much more than asking. We should ask. The scriptures are full of times and areas where it tells us that we should ask God boldly, that we should believe that God will give the things that he asks. He says that God is a good father and he gives good gifts to those who ask him. The scripture's full of all of those things, but it's more than asking God. Prayer can be petition. It can be asking God for things that we need for ourselves or for others, but it's more than that. And what we see in the Lord's Prayer particularly is our reorienting ourselves to the true nature and character of God. Because when we do, it might change what we ask for. When we say, our Father in heaven, and we realize that God isn't just this distant being, but that he's near and close as a father is to a child. When we use the word our and realize that he's not just mine, but all of ours, your enemy, your neighbor, your friend, your lover, our Father, Oh, that reorients me to a different way of seeing God than I might show up. Who is in heaven, and then realizing that heaven isn't just this distance place, but heaven is all of creation, and heaven is also often referred to as the air in the heavens and the earth. And God is not just distant in this place, but he's in the air, even in the pneuma, in the air that I breathe. Oh, God is closer than a father. Holy is your name, set apart. Let your kingdom come. Oh, you might know better than I do. Would your will be done? Oh. Doesn't that change the way we show up and the requests that we give to God? When we reorient ourselves to him and we become refamiliarized or familiar for the first time with the nature and character of God. It's about orienting ourselves to him before we ask. Now we get to asking, Lord, would you give us today our daily bread? Would you forgive me? Oh, because I've already reoriented myself to you, would you also forgive me like I'm forgiving those? Right, you see the way that this story can unfold, and using this pre-written prayer can be a pathway into deeper intimacy with God. These written words, they can become a springboard into deeper levels of intimacy. Just like our once a week date Laurel and I have to talk about our calendar, it expands beyond time slots on our Apple calendar. And it opens us up to one another. It opens us up to sharing the things that are motivating us or scaring us. In the same way, these pre-written prayers, these words that are written, they can open us up into fresh ways of seeing God and communicating with him. And it's not just the Lord's Prayer. If you were with us over the last year, we use Common Prayer. And many of us, we either for the first time or maybe you continued on using recited prayers or liturgies or written prayers to help guide your thinking. If you're like me, when I come before God, my mind is often so scattered. And these help order my thoughts. And it's a canvas that we can paint on, but it has parameters. It helps us, gives us form and shape. And when it comes to using these things to talk to God, there are more than that, right? We have the Psalms. The Psalms are an ancient practice of pre-written prayers. Psalms, picking a psalm to go through and read and pray through. The Psalms are not meant to be read. They're meant to be prayed. Or even scripture itself. Maybe there are promises of God in the scriptures that you need to proclaim or ask for. There are liturgies. I love this from St. Augustine. He famously said this. He says, to sing is to pray twice. We often don't think about our modern worship that we do in a place like this on Sundays as liturgy, but it's the pre-written prayers sung together in community. There are all sorts of apps that you can use. Lectio Divina, Pray As You Go, Lectio 365, Hallowed app. Mark Wahlberg is all over that one. And there are these tools that we can use that can help us start. For as Teresa of Avila said, we're all beginners. You know, when I think about starting, even using pre-written prayers, I think back to, you know, in my early days of dating Laurel and pursuing her, you know, I wrote a pretty crappy song, but I most often used better songs other people wrote. Made her that mixtape. Leaned on Hallmark a few times to get the words right. Even this past Valentine's Day, Laurel wrote me a poem. She just wrote it on the card. Somebody else wrote it. But it was deeply meaningful. Just because they're somebody else's words doesn't mean that they don't ring true. And so what would it look like for us to learn new ways, or maybe first ways, of talking to God? We're going to unpack the rest over the next few weeks. It goes beyond that. And there is a risk in using pre-written prayers. There are limitations to it. They can feel impersonal or inauthentic or too intellectual. It's important that we use these prayers as frameworks, not as crutches. Right? We can expand beyond the words and add our own heart and meaning to them. Last fall, I preached a message on using the Lord's Prayer as a framework, and capturing every word or phrase and expanding on it and having it be a place for you to contemplate and reflect on your own needs and wants and desires and have God meet you in those. But I think one of the things I love the most when we say the liturgy together, when we recite the prayer together, when we use the Psalms or the scriptures, that we are singing in unison, we are praying in unison with the community of the saints and adding our own voice to the millions around the world all the way down through history. It tethers us, it ties us to a rich tradition of trying to know and be known by God. And for me particularly, this has been the greatest help in guarding my mind from distraction and guiding me into God's presence. These pre-made prayers, they can be like a scaffolding, building blocks for the Holy Spirit to reside inside of us. And so what would it look like for us to start, or to expand, or to continue the modes and mediums and ways in which we talk to God? I'll end with this quote by Ronald Rollheiser. He says, "There's no bad way to pray, and no single starting point for prayer." I want you to hear me on that. I'm not like assigning you the Lord's Prayer. I'm using the Lord's Prayer as an example of how we can use pre-written prayers or liturgies that help us connect deeper with God. There's no bad way to start. There's no bad way to pray. No single starting point for prayer. The spiritual masters offer one non-negotiable rule. You have to show up for prayer and show up regularly. Everything else is negotiable and respects your unique circumstances. So as you pray, remember that prayer is a means to an end. And the end is union with God. It's intimacy with God. It's knowing and being known by God to the point that this is what Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, 21. He says, "Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." And so whether you're praying the Lord's Prayer for the first time, or using a psalm or a song or a Hallmark card, may all of us enter into this month, as we enter the month of March, as we're in the middle of our Lenten season, as we're moving towards Easter, may we be like those disciples who say, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray?" Let's pray. God, that's our prayer. Our prayer is that we would learn how to pray. And by pray, we mean be with you, be known by you, be intimately and intricately connected with you. God, I know that if anyone in here is like me, I can use any help I can get. And so, God, I pray if there's any folks in the room that have a, a hesitation or a stigma around using somebody else's words to encounter you, I just pray that maybe you would lower those reservations. God, I pray that you would, in each person here and each person watching online, God, that you would allow us to sense your call. God, the craziest thing is that you want to commune with us. God, I think oftentimes that's my biggest hurdle in coming to you in prayer. I can often convince myself that you have better things to do, better people to pursue, more important things to consider. But that's not who you are. God, your greatest contentment comes when we sit at your feet. Lord, you know us and you long for us to know you. And so God, I pray that as we enter through this journey this month, as we learn how to talk to you and talk with you, listen to you and be with you, God, I pray that you'd meet us here. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, we're going to stand and sing one last song together. During this last song, we're going to have our prayer team available over here at the piano, and we'd love to pray with you. Let's stand and worship together.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.